Hi, and welcome to Capers Community Markets podcast series. We're kicking the series off with some of Vancouver's finest chefs who will give you a step-by-step tour of some of their favorite dishes. Today, it's Capers' own chef, Nathan Hyam, with a treat from Thailand.
Red coconut curry is pretty much the all-purpose curry in Thailand. You'll find hundreds of versions of this. Why they call it an all-purpose curry is you can cook chicken, pork, beef, seafood, vegetables. Anything goes pretty well with a red coconut curry. So I'm going to show you how to make a traditional curry sauce here.
That's Chef Nathan Hyam from Capers, your guide on today's podcast. He's got a real love for the food of Thailand. He lived there for years and brings his inside knowledge to the podcast today. He'll be presenting two dishes. They're unbelievably flavorful, quick, and easy to prepare. By the way, you can get a copy of these recipes on the Capers website. That's www.capersmarkets.com. Now, before we hear from Chef Nathan, let me explain the setting. The series was recorded live at the Capers store on Cambie Street in Vancouver. We cordoned off a corner of the store between the floral department and the bakery. The store is packed and a crowd of people gathered around to watch and sample as Chef Nathan cooked and explained his recipes. So, through the magic of podcasting, let's head over to the store now and let me introduce you to Chef Nathan Hyam.
Well, welcome everybody. I'm going to do two recipes, both Asian recipes. I'm going to start off with ginger baked rice. Both these recipes are fairly simple. The first one is really easy. The idea behind this baked rice dish is if you're doing a lot of dishes and you've only got a four burner stove like most of us do, this rice can be made the day before and you just pop it in your oven and heat it up for about 15 minutes and it's ready to go. So your burners are free for anything else you want to do. What I'm starting with is some fried onion. So I've just got regular onion that's diced here. I've got some chopped ginger that I'm going to add, and I'm just going to saute this together. In here, I've got some organic Thai jasmine rice. It's the rice that's used throughout Thailand. It's their traditional rice. It's got a really nice flavor. It's similar in a bit to basmati, but you know, basmati has kind of a nutty odor to it. This has more of a floral flavor, and that's why they call it jasmine. So this rice is already cooked. It's been sitting in the fridge overnight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the onion and ginger mixture, mix it in with the cooked rice, and I'm going to add some flavorings. Just want to combine it a little bit. So here I've got some sliced green onions, a little bit of soy sauce. That's pretty much it, actually. This is a really simple recipe. So I'm just going to add a little of the soy sauce here and kind of mix it in, and that's all there is to it. Then what you would do is just pop it into an oiled casserole and cover it and bake it in the oven. So I'm just going to put it back in the frying pan just because it's here. Now remember, this rice is already cooked, so it really just has to heat up so that it starts to be infused with the flavors of the ginger, the green onion. So I've got an oven warm here. Just going to pop that into the oven, and that's one thing out of the way. Okay, now, this is a traditional Thai curry. Again, fairly simple. What I'm using here is roasted peanut oil. I'm using a peanut oil because peanut oil has a really high smoke point. It's also very traditional in Asia. The flavor really goes well with all kinds of stir-fry dishes. When you're cooking Asian food or stir-fry cuisine, you want to get an oil that can get really hot, and that's what I mean by smoke point. The smoke point refers to the temperature at which an oil starts to break down and fill your kitchen with smoke. Peanut oil has a very high smoke point. Canola oil, grapeseed oil, all have very high smoke points. The one oil you absolutely do not want to use for stir-fry cooking is olive oil. Olive oil is a very nice oil, but first of all, olive oil has a very low smoke point, so it'll break down before it gets hot enough to stir-fry. The second thing about olive oil is that olive trees don't grow in Southeast Asia, and the flavor just is not really complementary to stir-fry cuisine. So I've heated up my peanut oil. What I've got here are red onions and red peppers. Both of these are locally grown. These are hothouse peppers. Most of the food I'm using today is organic. I really like to use organic food at home just because it's a higher quality, and I really prefer chemical-free food. The products that I'm using here from Capers, you don't really even have to worry about reading the labels because no food that has any chemicals or preservatives can be sold on the shelves here. So, for example, the Cocomilk that I'm going to use is a Thai kitchen brand. The reason why I use Thai kitchen brand is there are no preservatives. If you look at coconut milks that are on the shelves in most stores, you'll find that they mostly have metabisulfites in them, which is a preservative. So I prefer to use a preservative-free one. So what I'm doing is I'm sauteing the onion red pepper, basically just till the onion softens up a little bit. Then I'm going to take it out of the wok, set it aside, and I'm going to make the curry sauce. So I'm just going to put it back in this little metal bowl here. So I've got the oil heating up in the pan here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put in some red curry paste. Now, the red curry paste I'm using is also a Thai kitchen brand. There are many really good brands. Actually, I brought another brand with me that tastes really good in my little magic box here. Asian Home Gourmet is a brand that I really do recommend for a couple of reasons. When you buy curry paste, most of the curry pastes are very, very hot. A lot of them have preservatives and chemicals in them. These particular brands of curry paste have no preservatives. Asian Home Gourmet, I've actually been to their factory in Thailand. Fresh herbs and spices are driven up to the factory every day. They grind the curry paste and they actually date stamp the package. One of the two differences between these two brands is this one's a little bit milder, this one's a little bit spicier. So this one you would use more curry paste. And it's inside, it's sealed in a little plastic package. Now, red curry paste is the base for the curry sauce, and I've just got the curry paste in here. Now, red coconut curry is pretty much the all-purpose curry in Thailand. You'll find hundreds of versions of this. And why they call it an all-purpose curry is you can cook chicken, pork, beef, seafood, vegetables, anything goes pretty well with a red coconut curry. So I'm going to show you how to make a traditional curry sauce here. So I sauteed the curry paste in the wok. I'm going to add the coconut milk. Now, you may or may not know that coconut milk is not the liquid inside the coconut. Coconut milk is a made product, and the way they make it is they crack open the coconut, they get rid of the water, and they scoop out the meat of the coconut, and they grate the meat, and they soak that meat in warm water for about 20 minutes. They squeeze it through cheesecloth, and the liquid that's squeezed through the cheesecloth is a first pressing of coconut milk, and that's what you'll find in the can of coconut. Now you can take that same amount of coconut, soak it again, squeeze it again, do it up to 3 times. Each time though, it'll be thinner and less flavorful. So when you're buying a can of coconut milk, you don't really know whether it's a first squeezing, second or third, and what kind of flavor it's going to have, unless you go with a relatively consistent brand, which is why I like to find a brand that I like and use that one, because there are many different flavor variations. Okay, so what I'm doing now is I'm bringing the coconut milk and the curry paste up to a boil. What that's going to do is the coconut milk's going to take in the flavor from the curry paste and start to turn into a sauce. While that's happening, what I'm going to do is I'm going to slice up some lime leaves. These are kaffir lime leaves, and this is a kaffir lime. Kaffir lime tree is a large lime tree that grows in Southeast Asia. It actually grows in most tropical countries, and it's got a little bit of a different flavor than the traditional lime. The limes, as you can tell, are like small and wrinkly and fairly dry inside. They're used mostly for the zest and the leaves. My friends in Thailand have a kaffir lime tree, and it always looks really kind of bare because everybody in the neighborhood comes to get the leaves, because these leaves are used to flavor curries. They're used to flavor soup. If you've had tom yum soup, the hot and sour soup, these leaves are floating in it. They're used in many, many different ways. What I'm doing is I'm cutting each half of the leaf away from the rib in the middle. I'm throwing away the rib in the middle because it's a little bit too hard to eat. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to slice these leaves very thin. Now what I'll do maybe is I'll pass these leaves around. If you want to just pass these around, if you smell the leaf that I've torn, you can get kind of a little bit of an idea of the flavor. And it's going to give a lime flavor to the curry sauce. We've got these lime leaves available at Capers. We brought them in. They're a little bit difficult to find, but they keep really well. They'll keep for about a week in the fridge, but they freeze really well. So you just wrap them in plastic. They'll keep for a month or more in your freezer. Okay, so what I've got happening here is the coconut milk is boiling. It's taking more of the flavor from the red curry paste. It's taking in flavor from the lime leaves. What I'm going to do next is add a little bit of brown sugar. I've got organic turbinado sugar here, which is quite similar to what would be used in Thailand. In Thailand, they would use either brown sugar or palm sugar, which has a very similar flavor. I'm going to add some fish sauce now, and then I'm going to taste it and see what I've got. It's just about right. I'm going to add a little bit of curry paste. Now, I haven't really measured anything. I'm really not big on measurement, but then, to be honest, I've done curries thousands of times. So what I'm looking for is a particular flavor. And so what I recommend in terms of using these recipes is read through the recipe the first time you're going to do it and cook it according to the measurements in the recipe. But after you make the dish, taste it. You really need to be tasting your food as you're cooking it. This is really one of the most important tools in your kitchen. Because when you taste the recipe, what you're going to do is analyze the flavor. Too spicy, not salty enough, you know, how would I want to change it? I should mention also, the fish sauce is what's used in Thai cuisine instead of salt. Fish sauce is made from really little tiny fish, kind of like anchovies. They're salted, marinated in crocs until it becomes very powerful. Fish sauce is the Southeast Asian version of soy sauce, and it's used in the same way. Now, every country in Southeast Asia has its own type of fish sauce. So starting in the north, more or less in Thailand, Vietnam, it's a very light fish sauce. As you go further south towards Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, out to the Philippines, it becomes very dark, very powerful, very fishy. So if you use a fish sauce from the Philippines in a Thai curry sauce, it's going to overwhelm all the other flavors. So check the label and get a fish sauce that's either made in Thailand or Vietnam, and it's a much more subtle flavor. So when I'm tasting here, I'm just tasting to see if I need anything. I think I'm going to add a bit more fish sauce. It's going to give it a bit more of a salt flavor. The curry paste seems okay to me. Another real reason to taste your food as you're cooking it is to determine how much or how little curry paste you want to use. Again, every brand is different. So start off with a small amount, cook it and taste it. If it's not spicy enough for you, add a little bit more. Now, what goes in a curry paste? It's actually a whole long list of ingredients. Onions, garlic, chilies, lemongrass, lime leaves, galanga, which is Thai ginger, cumin, coriander, cilantro, and a little bit of turmeric and sometimes cinnamon. So what happens is a Thai family will take all these ingredients, put them in a big granite mortar and pestle, and pound away for about 20 minutes until you get a paste that looks like this. I make my own curry paste. I don't usually use a mortar and pestle, to be honest. I use a food processor. It's a little bit different, but it's pretty close. The advantage of making your own curry paste, of course, is you can adjust the flavors. Every family in Thailand will make their own version of curry paste. Some put in lots of lemongrass, some put in a little, some put in a lot of chili, some put in a few. So again, every family has its own version. So what that tells you, though, is there's no right or wrong way to make it. I've had red curry sauce literally hundreds of different times in Thailand with all kinds of different families, and each time it tastes different. And in Thailand, they consider that a good thing because that's your own personal interpretation. So again, when you're thinking about making this recipe, if you're tasting this afterwards, what you want to think is, how would I change this recipe? Would I use more curry paste? Would I use less? Do I want to use more fish sauce? Make those small adjustments the next time you make the recipe and then taste it again. Is that just what I want, or would I change it some more? Each time you kind of adjust it, you'll end up with eventually your own recipe. And that's really the goal, because recipes are just a jumping off point. They're not carved in stone. No family in Thailand will pull out a Thai cookbook and start looking through the pages and start measuring things. They just cook according to their taste, according to what their family likes. You know, when I was in Thailand, I would go into a kitchen and they would show me their version. Then they'd show me their uncle's version. Then they say, well, my aunt in the north makes it this way and she doesn't like lemongrass. So again, it gives you permission to sort of change these recipes to what you want to end up with. I'm going to finish the sauce. At this point, you could keep this sauce in the fridge for maybe 4 days. You can freeze it for about a month. So if you want a really easy Thai dinner, defrost some sauce in the morning, and then decide what you're going to put in it. Chicken, pork, beef, vegetables. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add the onion and the red pepper back to the curry sauce. Let that simmer together. What's going to happen is, again, the sauce is going to flavor the vegetables. The vegetables are going to flavor the sauce. Now, I'm going to add the next ingredient. What I'm doing is I'm adding sliced bamboo shoots. It's going to give it some texture and a little bit of flavor. Bamboo shoots are a very popular vegetable in Asia. They have a very unique texture and actually quite a nice flavor. They're used in lots of different ways. Bamboo is just an incredible plant. In the right tropical climate, it can grow up to a foot a day, which is why the tips are used, the stalks are used. Actually, in cities like Bangkok, where they have like a huge construction boom, they're using bamboo scaffolding for huge skyscrapers. Bamboo is used in all different kinds of ways. This is simmered for a little while. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add some chicken. And I'm just going to simmer the chicken in the sauce. And of course, this isn't any old chicken. This is organic chicken. There is absolutely a vegetarian version of this. Instead of chicken, you could add tofu. The firm tofu is actually nice in this. Or just make an all-vegetable version. What's really nice in this is a squash or pumpkin. In Thailand, they'll use what's like a kabocha, Japanese pumpkin. It's green on the outside, orange on the inside, and kind of small. You could use butternut squash, Danish squash. A mixture of vegetables is nice in this. Thai people like sweetness with their food, so that's why they add brown sugar. So if you add some chopped apples or something like that, it'll give a really nice flavor to this. Now, what I'm going to add next is some Thai basil. Oh, and some local snow peas. Just stir in these snow peas, let them cook a bit. So I've got some chopped basil. I'm going to add this right at the end. When you're using basil in a recipe, it's really important that you don't cook it for a very long time. In Thailand, they like to add basil to their curries, and it's always added right at the end, because the longer you cook basil, the less flavor it's going to have. So it's going to be the best if you just add it before you serve it. Thai basil is distinctly different from the Italian basil. It's really noticeable. You can see the shapes of the leaves are more of a spear-shaped. The stems are kind of a little bit purple. When they start to flower, they get purple flowers. Now, the flavor is very similar to a combination of anise and basil together. So it's got like a little bit of that licorice-like flavor. There are actually several kinds of basil that are used in Thai cuisine. But this particular Thai basil and lime basil is what's very traditional in a lot of these dishes. Now, if you can't find Thai basil, you could use regular basil and maybe a little bit of anise powder will give you that same flavor. But Thai basil is not that hard to find here. Now, I mentioned before you can use other things in your curry. Really, it's a huge variety is possible with the Thai coconut curry. So what you really want to focus on is making the sauce. Once you've made the sauce, you can pretty much do anything. A mixture of peppers, a mixture of squashes, different kinds of zucchini are really nice. Fresh fish, I've done this with salmon, is actually really nice. And what you would do is cook everything and slice up the salmon into strips and add the salmon at the end and just kind of cook the salmon very gently, because if you start stirring it around a lot, it's going to mash up the salmon. And it cooks fairly quickly. So just simmer the salmon in the sauce, and it just makes a really beautiful dish. Now, it looks like the rice is ready. And so what I would do is just take a little bit of the curry and put it on the rice, and that's what these people are doing. Now, I really encourage you to try and adapt these recipes, change these recipes according to your taste. Because really, you know, more than 100 years ago, there were no cookbooks. People just cooked food. And I think that's really the goal. You know, when you're cooking, you want to be involved in your cooking. You want to taste what you're making. You want to try and change what you're making so it tastes good to you. Because when you're inviting people over to your house for dinner, what you're doing is you're inviting them over to share your idea of what tastes good. You know, I like to use a phrase that I heard from an old French winemaker. He had an apprentice winemaker with him. And he was asking the apprentice winemaker, how many kinds of wines do you think there are? And he's thinking, 50,000, 100,000. And the guy said, no, there's only two kinds. Wines that you like, wines that you don't like. And I think that really the same thing applies to food. It either tastes good to you or it doesn't taste good to you. What the recipe says doesn't matter. You know, what tastes good to you is what matters. So I think in order to get something that tastes good to you, you have to be involved in your cooking. Now it looks like some of the samples are ready if you want to get some.
Chef Nathan Higham, and now here's the bad news. We have no samples available on the podcast. I'm sorry. We're really going to have to do something about this for next time. Anyway, thanks to Chef Nathan Higham at Capers Community Markets here in Vancouver. You can get his recipes and obviously change them any way you'd like, but get them first from the website at www.capersmarkets.com. All those ingredients, by the way, available at all Capers locations in Vancouver, in West Van at 2496 Marine Drive, in Kitsilano at 2285 West 4th, in the West End on Robson Street at 1675 Robson, and the new store at Cambie 16th. The address there is 3277 Cambie Street in Vancouver. Next time, we'll be featuring Chef Vikram Vij, and he'll be doing up a prawns and coconut masala. It's a signature recipe for him, and he shares his inside tips with you. That's on the next podcast here from Capers Community Markets. I'm Robert Wiemat. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.